This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on a Tier Tuesday, a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get you a Kiefer Madness at 12:45 before the hour's out. So stay tuned for it with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I'm great. I had a great podcast with Devin McCourty, covered every single topic you could imagine, and as you guys have seen over the years, he's expansive on stuff. He doesn't duck any of the topics, and he goes in depth. So look for that. You're gonna like it.
Did you ask Devin at all about Bill Belichick's most recent Instagram photos?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
That stuff.
So it's not everything.
In one ear and out the other for me. It's just
doesn't interest you.
Not in the least.
Got it. I think it's sometimes humorous, though, with the former players that they don't really say much, but they have, like, a look about them when they're asked about it. They just kind of, like, laugh, and then they kind of, like, move on. But, like, you can tell.
Yeah,
you can kind of tell
I
what they're all thinking.
I see why it's entertaining and amusing and stuff to talk about, but it's kind of like weighing in on somebody's home life to an extent, too. So I'm like, yeah. Everybody's different in that regard. I care about the on-field things.
That's
and
right.
Relationships more so.
All right, let's get down to brass tacks. Yeah. Let's get down to the on-field. Mike Vrabel said in an interview on SiriusXM at the Combine leading into free agency, the Patriots want to add enough players in free agency to go, here's the roster, we can line up and play tomorrow, and then let the draft come to us. Have they delivered on that pledge?
No, they weren't able to. And I think that we all probably, when he said that, understood that that's not going to happen. You're not going to get Ronnie Stanley. You're not going to get Chris Godwin. You're not going to get an edge player. You're not going to get Milton Williams. Well, they did get Milton Williams. But they were not able to even see those guys get to free agency necessarily, like literal free agency where you can have them up for a visit in Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin. So it was pie in the sky hope. But I still think, and I'm sure you guys do too as well, that they made hay with what I think was a difficult situation. You guys are probably a little bit more of hanging judges in this regard. But we knew going in it was going to be tough sledding to find those positions because, A, there weren't a lot there. But, B, they wanted to set a high bar for the cultural fits. So that meant passing on some players who might have otherwise been great fits, like Laramie Tunsil, like DK Metcalf. So those priorities, I think, might have, down the road, they can make those exceptions, but they really prioritized who they were bringing in this year.
You know, Vrabel did talk about, you know, having to pivot and, you know, look for plan Bs and things like that. And I'm just, in your mind, why do you think it was Chris Godwin, this is the guy they identified, the receiver they wanted. They had a lot of money offered to Chris Godwin. But at that position specifically, it didn't seem like there was a plan B. Like, there was plan Bs on how to spend the money, but not at wide receiver.
I completely agree with you. I was thinking that yesterday. What was their plan B at wideout? I don't think it was Davante Adams. Certainly wasn't going to be T. Higgins. Cooper Kupp, as Diana Rossini reported late Thursday, the Patriots weren't really in on it. Now, I don't know if that was Kupp's decision or the Patriots' decision. Metcalf, they pushed away from the table on. I think you're right that the Chris Godwin money went to Carlton Davis, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is there were non-starters in terms of conversation at the wide receiver position, which the most important thing to them right now, one of, is making sure that the huddle and atmosphere around Drake May is pristine. They want it to, they want the most important voice in his ear to be Josh McDaniels, not a wide receiver who just showed up and is going to be here for 2.5 or 3 years, who has his own set of self-interests to serve.
Have they put too much emphasis on that? Like I agree they needed to fix, you know, some of the leadership in the room. You know, as you said in the past, they need to fix their culture within their locker room. So I'm not saying you didn't need to fix any of that. I'm happy they addressed some of it. Have they gone too far with it, though?
I don't know. I honestly don't. It's a great question. It's not a cynical question. It's worth asking. Because there are talented, like I look at DeAndre Hopkins. He's a phenomenal outside receiver. I don't think that he's a nuisance, unless I'm mistaken. Doesn't love practicing, but Vrabel's worked with him in the past, and he had a successful season. So he signs for a pittance in Baltimore. And again, it's hard to convince guys to come here if they don't want to come here because of the situation record-wise that they've had and the age of those players. But it is absolutely worth asking. But it's still 5 months. I wouldn't be stunned if there are, beyond the draft, other wide receivers added. But I think that they probably have a mind that, look, between McDaniels, the overall tenor of the team, we should improve just by being more organized and better coached.
The report came out that the Patriots view Travis Hunter as the best wide receiver in the draft and the best corner in the draft. So if that's true, I mean, it's a no-brainer pick at number 4, but would there even be consideration of moving up to number 1, moving up in the draft if he's really the best at both of those premier positions?
Spots. What I find really interesting is I have a personal aversion to watching the football team continue to struggle up front. It pisses me off so much on an annual basis because it's been happening for 7 or 8 years. So I'm like sitting there determined. It's like when you have a house and there's one appliance that never gets fixed and you say, you know what? No more half measures. We're buying a new one. And there could be something on sale or available to you right next door that's a more important, that's a flashier and steadier appliance. But you're like, you know what? We have a perfect fridge. Or I know we need a fridge, but we really need this thing. So I look at left tackle that way. I'm sick of watching it be a problem. Fix it. As a result, I look at Travis Hunter and look at him as a luxury item, or at least one that is not as foundational. But as we talked on the pod with Devin, you know, there is a point, regardless of the player, left tackle, his very best play only prevents something from happening during a game. Wide receiver, he might have 3 or 4 plays a game that either move the chains or put points directly on the board. So take my opinion with a grain of salt. Left tackle.
Well, and I was just going to say that's my concern. So, like, if Hunter and Will Campbell are both there when the Patriots pick at 4, my concern is twofold. Number one, they take the left tackle, if he even is a left tackle, in Campbell, because that's a need. And now you're drafting for need and not the best player available, which you're a Super Bowl contender, I'd be fine with. But when you're rebuilding and as bad as the Patriots have been, they need all the good players they can get all over the roster. Mm-hmm. And I have a similar fear with Hunter. If they do draft Hunter, would they push him to the offensive side of the ball as opposed to defense, where they have more depth at corner with Carlton Davis and Christian Gonzalez? Would they feel the need to play that guy at a position of need? So when Vrabel said they were going to let the draft come to them, I feel like they've done the exact opposite, and it's illustrated in that 4th pick.
But you can't orchestrate free agency necessarily. That's why I give him a pass on it. And when I look at,
but they
Travis
could have signed.
Hunter,
they could have signed somebody at left tackle and somebody at wide receiver. Like they could have. They could have done that. Maybe you couldn't get Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a good enough one to say, "Oh my God, well we don't have to worry about that
but,
now."
But isn't
honest
that
God, even if it's Cam Robinson?
But if it was Cam Robinson, or I know you're not a fan of Tyron Smith at least a year ago in free agency, but like guys like that are at least NFL tackles. That would be the definition of letting the draft come to you.
I don't agree. That's all. It's just Tyron Smith played, what, 9 games? He was hurt most of the year. He's hurt the year before. It's just you're going to be right back where you were. Fix it. But all that said, I think the Travis Hunter conversation as it relates to the Patriots is fascinating because you're not going to have a $20 million corner on one side and an all-pro on the other in Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis and then say, here, you can go be our depth corner, Travis. He has to play offense. And I think that that would be good for them. You know, you can develop them, but how much of a learning curve would there be in the very particular and detail-oriented Josh McDaniels offense? Or is McDaniels going to be, hopefully and God willing, amenable to saying, you know what, we're going to dumb it down a little bit. We're not going to have a 7,000-page playbook as Tom and I had by the time he was done here. We're going to make it easier for these guys, which I would presume he will probably do. But if you take Travis Hunter, you use him on offense, and then in 3 years when Carlton Davis' contract expires, you say, how about you go play some defense? I know you're a 1,000-yard receiver, but that's why Travis Hunter, the more I think about it, as insistent as I am, I do tell you to take it with a grain of salt, my insistence on left tackle, because the more you think on Travis Hunter, the more impactful he can be in so many different ways.
What was your take on David Andrews' release? It seems like the Patriots took a really weak spot of their team and made it weaker.
I think a lot of folks are looking at it as a little bit heartless and cold the way they did that with a player who has been so good for them and, you know, the guy who would weakly stand up and take the slings and arrows after disappointing losses. I kind of looked at it like this, and this might not have been what David wanted to happen. David, I think, would have been amenable to coming in and saying, I'll earn my spot. I want to try and come back here, and I'm not going to go play someplace else. But I think the Patriots had in their minds kind of moved on in that position and said, you know what, we're going to get younger. We're going to get better at that position. David's 33, and we're not sure when he's going to be available. We got to fix it now. So instead of leading him on, they moved on. And I think that there would have been danger in bringing him back, unless David was able to say, look, I'm not asking for a free ride in here. If I'm playing second team or third team throughout the summer and you move on, then you move on. So I understand their logic. If you're going to move on and you know it, then the right thing to do is not to drag him along through the offseason. But I can see how it would be surprising or eye-widening for him and painful.
Your understanding is he still wants to play, though?
I don't know. I think he still wants to play for the Patriots, but I don't know if he wants to play anywhere else. I mean, that's – or still wanted to play for the Patriots. So, I don't know. He's been pretty mum.
You think there's anything to Brandon Ayuk going – circling back to the Niners on a trade for him? And is that something that you would want to do?
I don't know if he's the right kind of guy either. If they're going to pass on, you know, DK Metcalf, Brandon Ayuk kind of solidly said, I don't really want to go there. He is a very good player. He is obviously a player who they could move on from because they're trying to cut salary out in San Francisco so that they can afford Brock Purdy and his contract that's coming up. So maybe here's the thing. Some of these trades can happen later. For instance, the IU trade could happen after June 1st. If the Patriots get into camp and realize we have a good culture here, these guys are making progress. These guys are much more professional. We can take on an IU. Then you can do that or some other player. But I think that right now to bring him in after all you've said about, you know, building it in a simple way, I think you, or in a particular way, not a simple way, then you kind of stick to your guns.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You're a good person to ask about this, Tom. It's been 5 years since Tom Brady left and signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Since that point in time, the Patriots have been to the playoffs once. They got slammed by Buffalo in that game. They're coming off back-to-back four-win seasons. They're on their third head coach. Since that point in time, Drake May is, what, the third or fourth quarterback, depending on how you look at it, since that time. How would you describe these last 5 years since Brady walked out the door?
They've been disastrous, and I think a lot of it traces to the decision to let him walk out the door, because once that happened, and the reason Brady left was because the Patriots were holding the door open for him for years, and then by 2019, the summer of that year, when they didn't give him a contract that he wanted to, that pissed him off to an extent where, you know, he said, don't franchise me. I'm not coming back. I want to be a free agent. He started playing footsie with the Dolphins. So you could tell basically that sealed it. But for Brady to be moved on from, with the express logic being, we'll be fine without him. We can replicate what he does. He's the greatest player of all time, but we'll still be fine, was whistling past the graveyard. And it was there's no other way to avoid it. It was immense hubris and ego to think that he was just another guy. And they did think that. They 1,000,000% thought that. That's why you're giving them at highest $22.5 million against the cap. That was the offer that Bill made to him in the days before Brady made the announcement. Once Brady goes and wins the Super Bowl, that's when all the guardrails went up. That Robert Kraft went through the pain of watching Brady go elsewhere and had all the agitation of Bill and Tom and having to go through it, sides with Bill, and then Brady wins the Super Bowl. That's when all the guardrails went up. That's when Bill started kicking at the reins that were placed on him, which he still complains about to this day. That's when the collaboration came in. That's when, again, they repeat the mistake by not having a succession plan in place for Josh McDaniels. And again, they say, well, what's the worst that can happen? We'll just put people in charge here that are smart football people. We're really good at this job. And then you alienate the young quarterback, or you make him question what's going on. And then you put him into literal exile. So everything flowed from the Brady thing, everything. And so, it was very, very much an ego situation in my estimation.
So from, 12 wins in Brady's last year to now back-to-back four-win seasons, there was obviously a ton of missteps along the way. And, they did have a playoff season in there, 10-7 in 2021. I know it's not one thing, but would it be Bill's decision to have Patricia be the offensive coordinator that really sent this thing the most sideways in your mind? Was it just thinking that Mac Jones could do it? Was there one thing that you think really kind of forced it to having to bottom out the way they have over the last 2 years?
Yes, it was the post-Josh plan.
Yeah.
Was absolutely what led to it. And, I think Josh hoped to one day be the successor to Bill here. I think Josh would have liked to have stayed here and not having to go to Las Vegas and begin an insurance that he would be the person to succeed. And if that had happened, for instance, would they have bottomed out that way? Mm-hmm. Would they have, if Josh stayed, would Mac Jones still be the starting quarterback beginning to work on his second contract? And would the team have been, able to maintain? I mean, they'd probably still be in at least a Dolphins situation where they're paying too much money to a guy who's not that great at the quarterback position. But what else would they have been able to do? So it's fascinating to think about. But that was the number one thing, was the notion that we'll be fine. What's the worst that can happen? We don't even have to name a play caller all the way through the summer. How's that?
Yeah, not great. No, not very good at all. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy Tuesday, every Tuesday, here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out his latest, NBCSportsBoston.com. Patriots 2025 roster reset. He's got a podcast with Devin McCourty, an excellent podcast, according to some, with Devin McCourty. You can hear that. You can watch him all over TV as well. Catch him on WEEI afternoons on Thursday. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. That was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. That is an interesting kind of what if. Like, how do they handle the aftermath of Brady? I think he's giving McDaniels too much credit there.
Yeah, I also think Mac Jones.
How did it go with McDaniels in Denver and Vegas?
Yeah, no, I don't think that probably would have been great. I think Mac Jones, yeah, I don't know how much he could have gotten out of him. I think he probably got the most out of him possible in 2021. But, you know, he was just so bad after that. And that season in particular, too, you go back and there were a couple of, like, real high moments. But overall, I don't know. Like, there were signs there that, like, he wasn't going to be anything in the NFL.
No,
I feel like.
Agreed. And I love the people who are like, oh, now he's with Shanahan. Mac, now you're going to see Mac. I'm like,
but then you were like, I don't think that's you the changed case. The offense. You put somebody in charge of it that had never done it before. And then everybody was kind of just you made everybody worse, right? Like, so Kendrick Bourne had a pretty good year in 21. Like, Hunter Henry had a pretty good year in 21. Mac Jones had a pretty good year in 21. And they were all worse the next year. And so that was obviously the beginning of the end.
617-779-7937. That was Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can listen live to our Kiefer Madness coming your way at 1245. We'll get back into the Patriots and their free agency plan. Mike Vrabel promised that the Patriots would fill out all their needs and let the draft come to them. Did the Patriots deliver on that promise?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't think anybody has a longer appetite. I mean, we all want to win. Like, that's why we're here. That's why I got hired. And it's to win. It's put a product on the field that they can be excited about, that they can care about, and they can support. Like, that's the whole goal. And I don't. They shouldn't have to wait very long, and you know. But we also have to understand that, you know, we're not going to fix every issue on the first day of free agency, or we're not going to fill every hole on the first or second day of the draft.
How is Mike Vrabel leading up to the combine? Guys, we're not going to fill all of our needs in one day. It's not just going to happen overnight. You can't snap your fingers.
It's true.
And fill out your roster.
He had so many freaking needs. He's right. He weren't going to be able to do it.
Well, 15 minutes later, he changed his mind.
Well,
when he was on Sirius XM.
Who amongst us doesn't do that?
Yeah, well, one very specific New England head coach did that very consistently.
All the time.
And this is an example of Vrabel doing it. You just heard what he said. You know, 5 minutes later, he's on Sirius. And he says, we want to add enough players in free agency where here's the roster. We can line up and play tomorrow and let the draft come to us. They haven't done that. Not even close, they haven't done that. And Tom Curran said, well, do you really want Cam Robinson? He's not a very good player. Do you really want Tyron Smith? What wide receiver out there should they have been in on? And I'd give answers to all that. Like, I would have been in on Cup. Yes, I want Robinson or Tyron Smith, but I don't know that those guys are you know, massive game changers, but they would deliver on the promise that Vrabel made, that we're going to fill out our roster and let the draft come to us. And my big fear now is they are going to draft for need at pick 4, which they absolutely, given the position they're in, should not do.
Yeah, so we won't know for whatever it is, 40 days. But that is where it's going to really stand out to me, is if Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter are available and they don't take him.
Like if Hunter's there and they take Campbell?
Brutal. It'll be brutal. I would rather
who might
them,
not be a tackle in the NFL.
I would rather them get the third corner who has a chance to be an elite player and play both sides of the ball and still they need a tackle. I know they need a tackle, and that's Curran's whole point. He's so sick of watching this team with bad offensive line and how it just destroys the offense. Yeah, but, so I get it. But if Travis Hunter's available, I'm taking him.
He's inconsistent on that, though, because if you want a left tackle, you go sign Cam Robinson. That is an NFL left tackle. It might not be a very good one.
True.
But it's better than what you have, and you wouldn't be forcing yourself into a move. And I'm worried even with Hunter. Like, let's say they pick Hunter. I'd love the pick. Good pick. Are they going to put him on the right side of the ball? Or are they going to skew towards offense because they have a need on offense?
Right.
And like Tom said, once you put him on offense and Carlton Davis leaves in 3 years, or they don't want to pay Christian Gonzalez in 2 years, what, are you going to move him back to play corner? You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to ever play him on just one side.
Me neither.
I wouldn't take him at number four if he's only playing one side. I think you need to play him on both. And I think any team taking him that high would at least give him the chance. This I would hope, right? It's one thing if he falls for some reason, falls away in the draft, and the team's like, all right, well, we're drafting you as a corner. That's all we want you to do. But if you're a top five pick because you just won the Heisman playing 115 snaps a game.
I would and you would, but, you know, Wiggy spent a long time in the NFL. He says teams won't do that.
But what if a team's taking him at four? Or what if a team's taking him at three?
I'm just telling
you. Or a team's taking him at two?
I mean, no, I get Wiggy, what you're saying. Wiggy would say no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I think that would be a mistake.
But college football teams wouldn't do it. For years and years and years.
True.
And I know some kind of. Champ Bailey, his last year at Georgia, and Wiggy was in the huddle with him, so he'd know better than anybody. He played a lot on offense, but I think his stats were like half of what Travis Hunter's were, like yards, catches, that kind of thing. And they were both obviously really, really good corners. But like Charles Woodson, even when he won the Heisman, he wasn't playing like a ton of offense.
No.
Like Travis Hunter didn't come off the field. So I feel like it is different. But, you know, Vrabel's statement about wanting to fill all the needs before the draft is sort of like a hope and a wish and a dream, and that didn't happen. And they went out there. But what was interesting about it is that's what he said, and then they did spend money. So we're all applauding them and the team for doing that. They finally spent money.
Yeah.
It's been 4 or 5 years since they've done that. So that part of it was good. But some of the guys they spent money on were for positions that weren't even technically needs. Like, I'm glad they got Milton Williams, and I'm glad they got Carlton Davis, but I don't think they certainly weren't ahead of left tackle or wide receiver.
No.
But they at least added to the team. They beefed up the team. So everybody likes the defense right now, but it's just you can't look at it and say, all right, they're good on offense. Like, no, they're the same. And they were the worst or the second worst offense in the NFL last year.
Right. You added Morgan Moses. You subtracted David Andrews. You're treading water.
Mac Hollins.
On offense. So I don't think it's a pipe dream to say sign a left tackle. Left tackles got signed. And not like not for crazy money. Jalen Moore was not crazy money. You can tell me Dan Moore was crazy money. Fine. Jalen Moore was like a 2-year deal. They couldn't have done that.
But I also like
and trust me, I don't pretend to like know a ton about Jalen Moore. He's the backup to Trent Williams until the final five games of last year when Williams got hurt in San Francisco. But there were left tackles that moved.
Yeah, and
you could have gotten. I know for a fact Curran loves Laremy Tunsil. He loves him.
Yeah,
so like you could have got in on that
second round pick,
but they didn't.
No. They didn't. And what's weird, too, is if you went in with your wish list, and we did this a few times.
Yeah.
We did our, you know, what would you do on offense? And remember,
some would say too many times we went back to that well.
We did. We went back to it a few times, come out a few different ways. We had our wide receiver wish list. We had our overall offseason wish list. We had all that stuff. And how many times did we put together a list and most of the people on Twitch or on Twitter or whatever would be like, these are unrealistic. They're not getting these guys. That's what the Pats did. If the Pats said we're getting Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin, that was more of a pipe dream. I think like those are part of our plans that we got laughed at.
Right. You want to talk about a wish list.
Yeah,
good point.
And that's great. Like, shoot. What do they say? Shoot for the moon. Or if you miss, you'll land in the stars.
You'll land among the stars.
So, like, that's what they did. But then they're like, oh, crap, Stanley's off the board. It's like, all right, get Morgan Moses. You're like, wait, what?
No.
He's not even a left tackle.
On offense, the players the Patriots were interested in didn't move. They were interested in T. Higgins, we think.
They stayed on their teams that there are both better teams. They're both playoff teams, and it's two guys that have never, ever left those teams.
They've
been there forever.
Even throwing Higgins, they weren't a playoff team, but they had a winning record. They've been to a Super Bowl before.
Drafted by the team.
Like, the guys they were in on offense, Higgins, Stanley, Godwin, none of them moved. So you want to talk about wishful thinking and pie-in-the-sky thinking. It's a great point. Like, they were in on players that likely weren't going to move. Stanley, I thought, would. The other two, I'm not shocked they didn't. I didn't think those guys were going to move. 617-779-7937. I mentioned the Mel Kiper mock draft earlier today.
Yeah.
Since we brought up Hunter. It's fun. Every time you bring up Travis Hunter, people are like...
People don't like Hunter.
He stinks. Somebody in the Twitch chat just said he's a late first-round pick.
He is not.
So Kiper has him going to the Patriots fourth overall.
Pretty good.
He has Jackson Dart ninth, which means...
Dude, top three. Quarterback. It's
quarterbacks
happening.
Are creeping up. Kiper goes happening. Cam Ward one to the Titans, Shedeur Sanders three to the Giants, Jackson Dart nine to the Saints. Daniel Jeremiah, hot off the presses.
Ooh!
Released his mock draft 3.0 post free agency.
Mock draft Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. We saved these for Mondays, would you guys?
What in the world?
He says, or has rather, Cam Ward going one, Abdul Carter two, Shedeur Sanders three. It's the exact same order as Kiper.
Okay.
Travis Hunter four.
I'd feel a lot better about that. You know, this whole thing, like, yeah, they obviously don't have the left tackle, but you're passing up what could be a generational player.
So Kiper writes, Hunter could absolutely play cornerback in the NFL. I have him ranked as a receiver where he can pick apart opponents with his ball skills, quickness, and instincts. Despite playing both ways, he caught 96 passes for 1,258 yards and 15 scores last year. I like the fit in New England's offense with Drake May, says Kiper. Jeremiah. Bolstering the offensive line would seem to be the obvious move here, but it would be tough to pass on such a unique talent like Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He would immediately be their most potent weapon for Drake May. So both of them are talking about the Patriots drafting him at four as a wide receiver. Just for consistency's sake, Jeremiah has Jackson Dart 21st to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So both Kiper and Jeremiah have Jackson Dart in the first round to quarterback needy teams, and they both have Ward and Sanders going in the top three. Whether they're right or not, we'll find out, but that's what they're both saying.
Yeah, because that was sort of the consensus for a while. Then that went away, right? There were a few people, including our guy Shime, who were like, oh, Shedeur Sanders is going to fall in the draft. And you're like, okay, we'll see about that. And then now it's kind of the ship has righted on that, and you're getting that third quarterback. I thought there was a chance it could be Dart. I thought it could be Jalen Milroe. It doesn't really matter. As long as those guys are moving up the board, that's good news for the Pats. In fact, that's even good news for their second-round pick. Add another quarterback. Get another quarterback in there. Start getting more quarterbacks off the board, and then you know the Pats might get another top like 25-30 type player, even with their second-round pick.
Monitoring the quarterbacks closely has no impact on the Patriots or Drake May on their actual roster, but
just take them.
Around them in the draft could have a big impact on who they're picking on draft day, which is... Oh, no. Where's our draft clock?
Must have short-circuited.
Where's
it's
that?
There. It's disappeared.
Must have gone to the Bruins game last night. Andrew is in the car. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I'm a huge fan of the show. I listen to the whole show every day on the podcasting Odyssey app. So
thank you.
Kudos for you guys being back together. Nice. You guys love it.
App plug.
Just talking about the Patriots draft. We've talked a lot about the fourth and maybe even the second round picks being driven by need and how that's not ideal. But I think the bigger concern is the later rounds too, like the mid and later rounds where you can typically find depth pieces and, you know, possible, you know, guys to fill out the roster to step up when guys are hurt. That's now, I feel like that's going to be all driven by need as well, which is not ideal. So, I mean, do we just end up drafting a bunch of, you know, lottery picks and, you know, for receiver and tackle, that's not good either.
But to me, that probably is different. I mean, you can throw in my face Brady in the sixth round. Wasn't necessarily a need, but they drafted him good value, obviously.
Yeah.
But they passed quite a few times on Brady to fill out other needs. I wouldn't draft for need at four. I probably wouldn't draft for need at 38 when you're a four-win team that needs everything. But after that, I'm okay with in the third and fourth round. Like you got to address some of your needs somewhere. So I'm okay with eventually doing it. I just those premium picks, especially four and to a lesser degree 38. In a perfect world, they shouldn't be drafting for need. They should let the draft come to them.
So I feel like you can prioritize your needs, or like the Patriots could tier their needs.
Huh.
It's everything.
They so power rank their needs
tier Tuesday
well,
next week.
Jones would power rank them. I would tier them.
I like a power ranking within a tier.
My point was like earlier. So like Carlton Davis, like on the surface, like cornerback was a need, but it's not left tackle. Like left tackle and wide receiver to me are like so far out in front. But every other position besides quarterback, which they also added one, but every other position you could kind of spin it like, well, that's a need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we were getting rid of Godshaw, we're getting rid of David Andrews, so those became more needs. We didn't really have a true number two corner that we could count on, so that became a need. You know, maybe tight end wasn't, and that's because they re-signed Hooper, so they have Henry and Hooper. So, like, quarterback, tight end, I guess, wouldn't be. Everything else is sort of, at some level, a need. So you could spin any of your draft picks as a need. Like, Travis Hunter could be a need.
Yeah.
Right? You're like wide out and corner.
Especially, well, yeah.
Well, wide out for sure.
That's what I would do.
Corner
but
less so now.
It's interesting. Yeah. I'll go back and check. I don't think Jeremiah and Kiper have been referring to Hunter as a receiver first. I don't think most people in the draft have. Maybe now they're just trying to apply need to the pick. One text here, 617-779-7937. Why would Cleveland take Carter over Hunter? It makes no sense. Well, if they're drafting for need at two, which would be a dumb thing to do, Cleveland would take Hunter. And I like Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
But maybe they just have Abdul Carter higher on their board, and they're not going to draft for need at two because they suck.
But if you also pair Miles Garrett with Abdul Carter,
nasty.
We've seen teams do that, load up on pass rush.
Once Garrett's contract's done, Abdul Carter would be up, so they can just basically transfer that money.
Well, that too. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line here. We'll get back to the Patriots, their wide receiver plan, maybe some insight there. The idea of trading down, will they have a partner to trade back? Doesn't feel that way. We can get to it coming up. Plus, the Tuesday, 12:45, which means coming up next is the Madness, Kiefer Madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
You rescued it. Okay.
Neighbors telling me she was already known as the Snake Lady.
Is snakes out there this big?
Souvenir of the honeycomb from the colony that almost killed my husband.
All right, time for the madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Keefer Madness is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It's great to have goals. It's even better to have experts help you attain those goals. Experts in weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. And Jones, we got ourselves a story in the great state of Tennessee.
Oh.
Sorry, we go down to Tennessee for this. And, well, I would say a unique, but perhaps a first. Perhaps a first. Let's see what's going on.
Let's hear it.
Police in Tennessee are looking for a group of thieves and their weapon of choice. You see it?
Ooh, okay.
Weapon of choice.
Group of thieves.
Yep.
Weapon of choice. Remember, they're in Tennessee.
Yep.
I don't know if that helps or hurts, but I'm just giving you the information. Group of thieves. What is their weapon of choice?
Nunchuck.
Great one. Like Michelangelo.
Yes.
Not nunchucks.
Plunger.
Plunger.
Wait, what was Michelangelo's?
Michelangelo.
Oh, you're nunchucks. Saying it's not nunchucks. I thought you were saying Michelangelo. Those
no,
are not
like
nunchucks.
Michelangelo.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's not what it is. Got
the,
it.
The sculptor, plunger? Not the Ninja Turtle.
Not a plunger. Not a plunger. What do you got? What do you got, Nick?
I said it's like the sculptor, not the Ninja Turtle.
Ah.
Oh, yes.
No guesses?
They're all great artists. That's the thing about the Ninja Turtles.
Ninja,
they're named after.
A ninja star. A Psy.
Oh, a Psy, like Raphael.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of hung up
maybe,
on the Ninja Turtles right now.
Maybe a sword?
Sword would be great. That'd be right up my alley.
Yep.
But no, it's not that.
Okay.
It is something strange. I would not be allowed to be a part of this group, or I wouldn't allow myself. I'd be terrified.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I think
yeah,
we know.
Yeah, you might know.
Police in Tennessee are looking for a group of thieves and their weapon of choice. You see it right there in the middle of your screen. Two pythons.
That's right.
Snakes. Pythons. That's what the...
Oh, actual snakes.
They
not,
were going to call the, this
not
show
big that, arms, yeah.
When we're coming up with show names. Two pythons.
Two pythons.
Magnum Don.
No, no. Like WEI 10 to 2.
Two pythons.
Nice. We have a guest in between two pythons.
So they're wielding these snakes in the store trying to like rob a convenience store with snakes. They're like, it's not like, hey, this is a stick up. It's like, hey, we got these snakes. Terrifying.
Is
I would have been like, take whatever you want. Just please leave me alone.
Now, I know.
Get me somewhere safe.
Always Sunny had a good gun debate episode where, you know, Dennis and Dee think it's very easy to go get a gun. There's a lot of protocols you got to go through. Maybe these gentlemen individuals can't
snake
do that.
Snake protocols?
But yeah, I don't. Are there snake protocols?
Let's go get a snake, probably.
How expensive is a python? I imagine it's
probably super expensive.
Pricey.
I never really looked into it, if you can be.
Yeah,
you can be honest.
Maybe one fell off a truck. You were able to fall into one of those pretty easily.
At
I don't know.
At one of the pet stores near us, we'll go and we'll get like Harrow's food there, and they have like a fish tank. They also have like gerbil tanks, and they got like
snakes.
And so like Cece's like, let's go look at them. I'm like, we're not
going to
do that. I'm not going to do that. So like, if anybody
she just goes down there by herself, you're like,
she's
Cece.
I'm like on the other end of the aisle.
Come back here.
I'm like, all right, when you're done, she's like staring at him. She's like, well, this one's not moving. I'm like, I don't care. I can't go down there and look at it. So I'm just like minding my own business. They're like, ah, there's a kid down here by herself. I'm like, no, she's
okay.
She's
now, there. This is the actual video that we have up
yeah,
now
we have,
on,
we do
on
have,
Twitch?
We do have a video evidence of it. I can't look at it, but we have a video evidence of it. And
I guess I was assuming... I guess I was assuming the python would be a little bigger.
I'm trying to find out how much
is that right?
Not to shame.
No.
But
no.
I guess I was assuming a larger,
is
a
that
larger
an
snake.
Is that a nick?
Yeah, a small snake.
I'm trying
ick.
To see how much these pythons are, but it says only in store and won't give me a price. And oh. when I click on it, it's telling me that they don't exist. So
all right.
Wait a minute, what?
So $10 shake in the Twitch chat.
It's like a
says,
menu when it's like market price.
$10 shake says, secret menu. Honestly, I'd be like... cool snake and not be intimidated whatsoever.
All right, well, listen, he doesn't have a crippling fear
well,
of snakes.
Say,
like,
may, is it possible?
The keys.
Is
yeah,
it possible?
Like, dude, take it.
You know that the person at the store has a crippling fear.
Maybe.
That would make it effective, but otherwise, this would seem like, right, what do I care? You have a snake? So what?
What, are you going to throw it at me?
Right. Like, throw it at you.
Yeah, I'd be horrified.
But most,
is it gonna, like,
most
it,
adults go, all right, there's a snake.
Yeah,
what?
You'd be better off bringing like an angry dog in there,
right? Yeah,
because like if people aren't terrified of it, you're like, I don't know what you want me to do. You want me to hand you all of the money in the drawer,
right?
Which, by the way, we don't even really use money anymore. Everybody uses cards. We have like $13 in here. You can take it,
right?
Actually, we find out how much they got.
Oh, good.
It comes up.
What's
but,
the take? Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Two pythons. Authorities in Madison County sharing these pictures and the video online, hoping to catch the four people in the holdup at a gas station earlier this month. And there goes the python. Police say the crooks were wielding
hot.
Two ball pythons, which are not venomous.
All right, these guys are losing me here.
I don't think these guys
they're
are.
Not, they won't kill you.
These are not the best criminals.
These are small, non-venomous snakes
yeah.
watching it. Yeah.
We got two, they can't really hurt you that much.
I think they stole the snakes, and they're like, these will do it.
And, these they and they're like holding store. Them out, like hoping that the snake will like kind
what
of like show them the fangs.
Yeah. The snake?
Say it again.
What animal did they use to steal the snake?
Good question.
Well, not a mongoose. That would have just killed it in its tracks.
Like an animal pyramid. You kind
of
working your
one
way up.
One of those like long stick pole things and they kind of like hook its head. Yeah. So they're like carrying these snakes around. So like now they're expected to like carry money around. Like you still got to carry the snakes. They can't like walk on their own.
Nope.
Really poorly thought out.
Well,
I feel like.
I hate to be the one to suggest this, Keith, but maybe it's an inside job.
You think it could be? It
could be.
They know the guy doesn't
yeah,
like snakes.
They know
that
the
really
guy.
Be the only way to
guy
do it.
Doesn't like snakes. Yeah. They know how much money's in the drawer. Yeah. The guy was a little too willingly giving away the money. Inside job.
All right, so people are saying pythons can run between $150 to $1,000. Yeah. Another person said $1,200 to $1,800.
That's what I'm saying. You can get a gun cheaper than that, can't you? I'm not a gun guy. But
oh, my God. Somebody said at the zoo in Bolton, there's a 21-foot black boa.
Okay, I was picturing...
Oh, my God!
I was
dude,
picturing...
get out of here!
These snakes are very unimpressive. I was picturing a much...
Don't shame the snakes.
Much larger snake.
It's how you use it, Jones.
Well...
Is fair. How you use
that's
it.
Fair.
And if you just hold it on your arm and they give you all the money, I don't know if that's really going to work. Good point. These people, the snakes could have just been stolen. These guys are obviously thieves.
This is a good point.
And now maybe they're going to try to like just keep upgrading themselves.
Did she say it right there? What was the total take?
And typically pretty tame, but the store clerk probably didn't know that. In the end, police say the thieves got away with $400 worth of CBD oil. They were there for CBD oil.
That's the best. $400. I got $400 in the bet. Hold on. CBD oil.
Street value.
$400.
$400 worth.
Street value. One free hat.
Dude, they yeah. would have been better off selling
I was just going to say that. You just go see my guy at the garden last night. Bring a hat.
These guys could have gotten more money for the snakes.
100%.
If they stole the snakes or they
sell
them
the
back.
Snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
Give us that CBD oil. You're like, all right.
$400. I was already underwhelmed.
Police say the thieves got away with $400 worth of CBD oil.
You know what? We do a lot of dumping on these newscasters.
Yeah, yeah.
Tremendous pause there. That was the perfect.
No, she knew what she was
doing.
That
was great delivery.
She knew what she was doing.
Two pythons. Authorities in Madison County sharing these pictures and the video online, hoping to catch the four people in the holdup at a gas station earlier this month.
So there's four people. Two of them are holding snakes. What are the other two doing? Just like
shopping,
waiting for the CBD oil.
Is fiending for some CBD oil.
Their hands on that.
And there goes the python. Police say the crooks were wielding two ball pythons, which are not venomous and typically pretty tame, but the
typically
they're tame.
Yeah.
We got these two sleepy snakes we're going to go rob a store with.
Four guys.
The CBD oil might be for the snakes.
Four guys.
That's tough.
Two snakes. $400 worth of CBD oil.
Terrible.
In Tennessee.
Useless.
That's quite the crime.
Quite the heist.
Good haul.
Way to go, guys.
Yeah. Get back there bragging about it to their buddies. What'd you do?
Well, we took these snakes, right?
We went and stole some snakes that are actually quite valuable.
And then we
stuck
got,
up a local gas station.
Like, just take the CBD
oil. $400. Nice.
Wait.
Where's the money?
Well, no.
We still got to move this $400 worth of CBD oil.
Yeah, they need a fence for the snakes and the CBD oil now.
Yeah, we got to go buy some snake food.
Tough day at the office.
That's going to eat into the take home.
Money.
Yeah, we're down. We're actually down, buddy. Okay.
There you go.
That's the madness. Yep. Kiefer Madness. Every Tuesday, 12:45 here on Jones and Keefe. Let's go back to the Patriots offseason. How are they going to find wide receivers? And would trading back be a solution for the Patriots? Maybe not so fast. We'll get to that with all your thoughts next.
In the end, police say the thieves got away with $400 worth of CBD oil. They were there for CBD oil.